I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the
for duty, sir.
I wasn't sure you were there, brother Jess. That's so good. I said, oh, yeah. Jesse Romero, I got to tell you, you're the most busy man that I know in the sense of traveling all over. And I'm just glad to be here, a virgin most powerful. Your commitment to evangelization, in my opinion, of after 40 years, I have not seen anybody like Jess Romero, folks. And I've seen people like Scott Hahn. I've seen Tim Staff. I'm telling you, a guy who's going to do what he has to do for as long as he is alive, I think Jess Romero will stop evangelizing 5 minutes after they say he's dead, okay? Because then he's going to evangelize in heaven, interceding for us. Brother Bingo. Jess, please, God. Hey, reporting for duty, sir, this is going to be a good show, Jess. We've got some things on socialism that we have not really discussed in detail that I think people are going to go, wow, I never realized that. Oh, yeah. So this is going to be a show for education. But before we do the show on the socialism, we always like to get the big book out. That's right, the Bible. And read the good news of Jesus Christ's gospel for the readings of the Mass. So, Jess, I'm all ears, brother.
Yes, Matthew 25, 31 to 46. Mm-hmm. This is the way things are going to play out at the general judgment.
Love it.
When Christ comes back at the second coming, it's not going to be this, hey, did you say the sinner's prayer? Did you accept me as personal Lord and Savior? Were you once saved, always saved? None of that stuff is going to play out at the judgment. Let's read what the Bible says, because the Protestants that teach once saved, always saved, they are absolutely dead wrong. And the Catholic Church has been proclaiming that we have to walk in the obedience of faith and answer the call to holiness for 2,000 years. Here it is. All right. Jesus said to his disciples, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, that's the second coming, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne. Notice he's coming as a king. And all the nations will be assembled before him. Yep, even the communist and Islamic nations, all nations.
Yep.
And he will separate them from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. In other words, the good guys from the bad guys are going to be separated by Jesus Christ at the general judgment. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Hey, let's pray that we're the sheep. Okay, that's why we're doing this show, because we want to be sheep and remain as sheep. Then the king will say to those on his right, okay, these are the words you'll save. You're saved. These are the words. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world. If you hear those, you're on your way to heaven. And how does Jesus say that you're saved? Did he say that, well, you got to, you know, go to a Protestant church and say the sinner's prayer and you know, claim that once saved, always saved? No, he didn't say that. He says, this is the way you're saved. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. A stranger, you welcomed me, naked and you clothed me, ill and you cared for me, in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you? And the king, that's Jesus, the king, will say to them in reply, amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me. Bingo. Those are those known as the spiritual and corporal works of mercy right there, okay? If that's not part of your life, if that's not part of your faith walk, you're not going to be saved. Now, these are the words Jesus are going to say to those that are going to hell. He says, then he will say to those on his left, notice, left.
I did notice that.
Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Okay, so why are they going to hell? Here's what he says. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. A stranger and you gave me no welcome. Naked and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison and you did not care for me. Then they will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison and not minister to your needs? And he will answer them, amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me. And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The least ones, according to Jesus in Matthew 18, 15 to 18, are little children. The Greek word is actually babies, infants. And he says that if you hurt babies or infants, man, you may as well give yourself the death penalty before he gets a hold of you. Terry, I feel sorry for pro-abortion,
that's where I was going,
pro-infanticide,
oh, gosh,
candidates, Catholics, politicians. They are on the wrong side of Jesus. They're on the left side, and if they don't repent, Terry, they're jumping over the trap door of hell.
And out of charity, we have to ask them to repent for the salvation of their soul. Jess, have you noticed anything behind me on my YouTube, Facebook video? Do you see that image, that red image? We just got that from one of our monthly donors. I finally got it hung in the studio. That's the image that's on the St. Benedict medal. Mm. And I want to thank our listeners for that because it looks beautiful, and I appreciate that. And God bless you and the family. Hey, we're going to bring in Bishop Fulton Sheen. Oh, full Sheen ahead. This little statement, sometimes I try to get a statement from Sheen that fits our show. Remember, we're going to be talking about socialism.
We got a Clarence Thomas clip, Terry.
Going to be great right after this. It's on fear. If we only knew it, we are fearing the wrong things. We used to fear God. Now we fear our fellow man. Jesse, that fits to me. What do we mean by we fear our fellow man? Well, that's what everybody, it's just this one world. In other words, nothing supernatural. It's that I'm afraid of the government not doing this or that. Yes, that's a concern we have to have, but what's our ultimate concern? The salvation of souls. And what I've seen right now, more violence, more evil things that are going on because we forgot about God. That's my take on that.
Terry, we got some good news. These are the type of Supreme Court justices that we need more and more of.
Amen.
We're going to hear a two-minute clip about Justice Clarence Thomas.
Great,
he talks
man.
About going to daily mass. Can you imagine, before he goes to work in the Supreme Court, he
love
goes
it.
And receives the Holy Eucharist.
It.
Can we play the clip, Mr.
Absolutely.
Engineer?
Did you know Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas is a Catholic? That's right, and not just any kind of Catholic. He doesn't shy away from discussing our faith. He's even mentioned that he goes to mass every morning on the way to the Supreme Court.
You know, I go to mass before, I go to work. And the reason for that is not just habit. It gives you a centering. It gives you sort of starts you in a way of doing this job, secular job, the right way for the right reason.
Justice Thomas wasn't always so comfortable with the faith. As a young man, he wrestled with Catholicism. Though at one point he considered joining the priesthood, later he became a secularist left-wing activist. But as he explains it...
Remember now, I'd been away from the church for 25 years. I left in a huff in 1968. And someone said, why did you go back? And I said, life. Life happened. Things happen that you can't explain. And then you realize there was only one place to go. And for me, that was back before the Blessed Sacrament.
And that faith in the Blessed Sacrament, the centering he says he gets from daily mass, has made him a stronger, wiser man. Recently, a new documentary about Justice Thomas was released, Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in His Own Words. It's already generating different opinions on the left and the right, and that's no surprise. He's a former leftist radical. He's a critic of affirmative action. He's the only African-American on the Supreme Court. And he's been one of the nation's boldest critics of abortion. In other words, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas himself is no stranger to controversy. But then again, neither is our Catholic faith.
Wow, I love it.
Terry, that warms my heart to know that one of nine people in the most powerful court in the world,
at least one
of them that we know of right now, receives the Holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, and is formed by Catholic thought. That sits well with me, Terry, and this is why it's important that we elect President Trump again in 2020, because he wants to give us Supreme Court justices in the mold of Clarence Thomas.
Jesse, you well said. I couldn't have said it better. I want to just mention, he said he left the church in 1968. Anybody know what was going on in 1968? Humanae Vitae, rebellion in the church. This is why, Jesse, my point is many people left the church at that time of the rebellion because the leadership was faltering. I'll just give you one quick thing. Cardinal Boyle, when he came and censured all those priests for being dissenters on the Catholic faith, and then the Holy See came in and put those guys back in, that sent a bad message to the church. I know I'm being critical, Jess, but I'm looking back 50 years and going, we need stronger leaders in our church to hold to the faith. And that's what didn't happen in 68. And now I'm so grateful that he came back to the faith. Jesse, before we take a quick break, I want to remind everybody, March 17th coming up, we've got the message of divine love. We've got a performance being done with the St. Luke production people. It'll be at our chapel. If you'd like to come, you can call 877-526-2151 or go online to our website. We've got many events. We have the Adoramus Conference coming up in less than 2 weeks with Father Fessio. Lots of things. Go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio and go under the events page and you'll see all of our good things. Jess, what's coming up next?
Yeah, Chair, I just want to give a shout out to all the men.
Oh, yeah, where you were. Tell us.
I was at the Men of St. Joseph International Conference. It was in Greenville, Rhode Island. Just want to give a shout out to all the new listeners that are listening to the show right now.
Yep.
It was the St. Philip's Catholic Church. It was it was good to see Terry.
Yeah.
300 seats, 300 men in the seats, and they were just all in.
Good.
They're saying, man, I am all in. The presentations, myself and a priest, it was a day where they were just challenged about manning up for the Catholic faith, following our Lord Jesus Christ and Our Lady. So I just want to shout out to all you Catholic men at St. Philip's Catholic Church, Greenville, Rhode Island. Onward and upward, men. God
Amen.
Bless you.
Up next, social justice isn't left or right. We'll have that with Terry and Jesse on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Get yourself a cup of coffee. Get prepared for some meat and potatoes.
Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we come to understand." According to St. Augustine, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. May God grant us a strong living faith in Him and His divine plan of salvation, and help us to believe so that we may understand.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio. Terry, today in the first reading, I just want to mention something. Today in the first reading, the gospel, it says, but judge your fellow men justly.
Yeah.
You know, because I know a lot of people always say, yeah, don't be judging anybody. Mm-hmm. The first reading today says, but judge your fellow men justly. That's the way we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to not do it rashly. We're supposed to do it justly. And guess what? Jesus Christ repeats that in the gospel as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says in John chapter 4, I'm looking it up here. He says, judge justly as well. So he quotes Leviticus, Terry. So regarding the judgment of another person, you can't do it, as the catechism says, rashly, without any evidence. You have to do it justly. All right, let's talk about social justice, Terry. Let me, it's not right or left.
No.
As we're always saying about the show, we're not right versus left. It's right versus wrong.
Exactly.
There's a great article written by Leon Supernant. He is the former Grand Knight of the Knights of Columbus.
Yeah.
And let me take some of the stuff that's very important of what he says. He says, I found that the Catholic faith necessarily involves synthesis and integration, what is commonly called the both and. I learned that in apologetics 30 years ago from Catholic Answers, Scott Hahn, Tim Staples, that we hold to it's a both and. It's not an either or.
Right.
You know, we uphold faith and reason, prayer and work, and we also uphold, here it is, personal holiness and social justice.
Exactly.
It's not one or the other. Yet I've also found social justice to be a lightning rod issue that divides Catholics because it touches upon things that matter to everybody. Politics, economic concerns, world peace, there's bound to be some disagreement. So the first question is, what is social justice? Well, social justice is an integral part of church teaching. Just listen to today's gospel, Matthew 25, 31 to 46. Okay, that's part of it. It's based on the rights that flow from and safeguard human dignity, and it inclines us to work with others to help make social institutions better serve the common good. There's a section on Christian morality and entitled The Human Community. It's in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. There's an entire section on this, from paragraph 1928 to 1948. And this is specifically on the topic of social justice, as well as the compendium of the social doctrine of the Catholic Church, which was given to us in 2004 by Cardinal Ratzinger, the compendium. It also gives a wider teaching on the church's doctrine of social justice. This doctrine is rooted in the Bible, but especially it draws upon the church's social encyclicals of the past 100 years or so, beginning with Pope Leo XIII's Rerum Novarum in 1891.
Yep.
And Catholics who are steeped in Catholic social doctrine, they're not the only ones to use the term social justice. It's also, unfortunately, Terry, it's become a code word used by some to advance a liberal progressive social agenda coupled with a collectivist, notice, a socialist collectivist economic agenda that walks and talks like socialism. So in other words, to appeal to Catholics, especially those who might tilt to the left religiously and politically anyway, there's a lot of political operatives that use Catholic jargon. They like to use Catholic jargon like social justice, you know, or the common good, or the preferential option for the poor. Like people like Biden and others, they like to use these words to influence public opinion, especially in the minds of Catholics. But what they mean is not always what the church means. That's the problem.
Yeah.
What Biden and others mean by social justice and the common good is not always what the church means by social justice and the common good. For example, not unlike the homosexual activists who have ripped off the word gay. Remember a couple of decades ago, for the most part, you know, everybody used the word gay as an adjective that meant happy or lively or merry. But if you use that today, people are going to look at you cross-eyed. They're going to say, what are you? Are you homosexual? Are you what? And they've done the same thing with the word social justice. They've ripped it off.
That's right.
And they've poured in a new meaning into it. Because sometimes social justice can mean the entire Catholic body of social teaching, perhaps summarized as a personal commitment to serve the poor and address the causes of poverty. But yet, to the left, it could also mean a personal commitment to address the causes of poverty by advocating specific policies that liberals prefer. For example, redistribution of wealth. For example, no wall on the border. For example, open borders. For example, Medicare for everybody. So no wonder, Terry, that the term has become highly politicized. It leaves some Catholics to believe that only political prerogatives care about social justice.
You know, Terry? Jesse, you've nailed it. And this whole article says, Jesse, you did a great job covering this because, you know, liberation theology that was going on 40 years ago when it was condemned by Cardinal Ratzinger in the 80s used that exact approach, change the words so that we can the political left understands this compassionate sounding Catholic language can be used to generate support among Catholics. That's what Bingo. They did. To be sure, the use of Catholic terminology in the public square can be a very good thing. Of course, it allows for a framework of debate. Yet the political activists are not using the terms in the same way that most Catholics are too ignorant of the church's social doctrine to know the difference. That's the point. When you have low information Catholics, they buy into it because they, it sounds good. But remember, Bishop Robert Barron said this, a church that's not precise about what it teaches is a corrupt church. I'll be honest with you right now, Jess. I agree with what he said. We have a corrupt church because many in the church are not precise about what we teach. And what happens is we get low information Catholics. And sadly, this ambiguity is also, like I said, found among the church leaders in the field of social concerns, which can seem at least committed to partisan politics, left or right. And I noticed this, Jesse, in my 40 years, that the liberal clergy have no interest in salvation of the soul. Nope. Everything is man-centered.
Salvation of the world.
Yes. And I've noticed that, and I can give examples. I don't need to, but the point of it is, I worry about when I hear somebody talking about social justice, about things that are just, that's all they talk about. I go, does he believe in Jesus? And I'll tell you why. Because most of the time, those individuals can care less about the salvation of souls.
Terry, you know what's interesting is Archbishop Fulton Sheen,
yeah,
who should be Saint Fulton Sheen.
Yep.
That's another discussion.
Yeah.
He called Judas Iscariot, he calls him the patron saint of social justice.
That's right.
All he cared about was money and the things. He had a horizontal view of the world.
Yep.
And that's exactly what you're talking about right now, Terry. A lot of our leaders have become horizontal. Their eyes are fixed horizontally, not vertically.
Exactly. Should be vertical.
Yep.
Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah, Terry. I think most people have simply conceded the word, for example, gay to the homosexual community.
Yeah.
But we've got to fight, Terry, because we can't give away the word social justice to these extremists in the church and in the government.
It's a good word, actually.
Yeah. This term has been stolen from us,
yep,
and we need to take it back. In fact, social justice, let's just be honest,
mm-hmm,
it's part of our rich Catholic heritage. It was today's gospel, Matthew 25, 31 to 46.
Perfect timing.
Social justice is also rooted in the natural law, and so it's part of the human heritage. And we fully believe that the Catholic Church, as the champion of the natural law, possesses the much-needed wisdom on the major social issues of the day. We can't give an inch to anyone, especially one posing as a Catholic,
that's right,
like Joe Biden, who would distort the church's social teaching. Let's remember, social justice as a term has been largely co-opted by the left, and we can't let them take it back. We can't let them take it and keep it, because we're living right now during a crisis of faith. Our society's loss of in the sense of God and the sense of our meaning and purpose of life, it inevitably leads to what the Gospel of Life, paragraph 23, calls, John Paul II says, inevitably leads to a practical materialism which breeds individualism, utilitarianism, and hedonism. I just quoted John Paul II. When you forget about God, Terry, we move into socialism and communism. That's what he just said.
Well, he said one more thing, Jesse, that I don't think you put in, that this is very important. He says many people are looking for solutions right here, right now, without reference to God or to the supernatural. And that says it all. The saint said it, Jess. That's what's going on in our culture right now. We forgot about God. We've got a better idea. We're going to fix all the problems by secular humanism.
Yeah, right. I'll tell you, such secularist and materialistic models have in some places corrupted the church's social outreach.
Mm.
And when that happens, social justice degenerates into short-sighted political activism.
That works.
The authentic quest for human development then becomes co-opted by agendas that are completely opposed to church teaching and the good of the human person, most notably the pro-abortion forces and the gay rights movement, for example. And we frequently encounter those peace and justice Catholics who outright dissent from Catholic moral teachings such as on abortion and other supposedly conservative issues, or who relativize such teachings to be an intolerable degree. And, you know, Terry, our knee-jerk reaction as Orthodox Catholics who are politically conservative, it compels us to reject such distortions of church teaching and unfortunately leads us to swing the pendulum in the other direction, which causes us to not pay sufficient attention to the social demands of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole subject of social justice is a matter of the Catholic principle of both and. It's not either or.
That's right.
We have to be personally holy, and we help, and we have to help others to the extent that we can. We can't pick and choose what teachings we will ignore. And even more, social justice is a thoroughly Catholic principle that we shouldn't be ashamed of. And certainly we can't abolish this from our Catholic dictionary. Faithful Catholics are on native soil when speaking of social justice. Just listen to today's gospel. And we should proactively promote what the church teaches on this subject. Terry?
Jesse, amen, brother. Just I just can only add the natural law issue that we talked a few minutes back for people. What's natural law? Well, think about it. Natural law says you don't kill an unborn baby. You don't even have to be a Christian to know that. You can be Joe Pagan and realize killing an innocent life is wrong because it's natural law. But Jess, when we come back, there's much more. These are tough topics to hit when we come back from the break. I want to mention one thing, though, that really impressed me over the weekend, Jesse. I listened to Bishop Robert Barron give a talk on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. It was an hour and 15 minutes. It was at the Religious Ed Congress that I'm protesting, right?
Wow.
He gave a talk. Jesse, it was your talk. It was Tim Staples. It was Jesse Romero. All the, he took the fathers of the church. He Berengarius. He went through the Reformation. He explained transignification, transfinal, all the stuff we've been doing for 40 years. And I was so happy to hear a bishop teaching the people, 1,500, 5,000 people in arena, about the real presence. The only thing I would have added to it is say, he said, we did a terrible job because of the Pew research showing that hardly anybody believes in the real presence. Well, Bishop Barron, I just had one more adding thing to do, and that is let's show reverence for the Blessed Sacrament. Let's bring Jesus back to the center of the church, and let's stop communion
in
the hand.
Let's bring the altar rails back. Let's kneel down. Let's receive in our tongue.
That's the answer, Jess.
Yeah. Don't just talk about the church's doctrine.
Yeah.
We need some action.
Yep.
Action item.
You got it. We come back, we'll talk more on this social justice. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're blessed, and we're blessed to have you. We'll be right back.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoramus Society. Adoramus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Carstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today for Adoramus at the Triduum.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio. America, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Global warming alert. Jesus is coming back soon. Are you ready? We're talking about the issue of social justice, which the religious and the political left, Terry,
yeah,
they've tried to co-opt this term.
Oh, yeah.
And they've tried to pour a new meaning into it, but we're not letting them take this term. They've already taken the word gay, pretty much. I mean, I'm pretty much lost that
word. We're the only two that still use the word homosexual.
Yeah, we're the only
one
that say that. People look at us cross-eyed when they say we're gay. We're not, you know, nobody else uses that term. So what's the best place for a Catholic to begin to learn and teach and eventually apply the authentic social teaching of the church?
Yeah.
A great place to start is the compendium of the social doctrine of the church. And of course, there's a bunch of issues when it comes to the application of principles in this complex arena of Catholic social teaching. And it can be difficult and contentious, regardless of one's political allegiances. But we're going to try to break it down. We're going to make it very easy for you, okay? We might not ever end up agreeing on all these issues as Catholics, but if we approach them using the same rock-solid Catholic principles, then and only then the church as such can have a meaningful and united voice in the public square when it comes time to vote. And I'm going to give you a big picture view, okay?
Sure.
Pope John, St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI, who I miss them so dearly. I miss them so much right now. Both of them have seen and brilliantly proclaimed on behalf of the church the artificial separation of the pro-life and the peace and justice camps that we often find in the Church of America. The contemporary loss of the sense of God has led to a culture of death and is fundamentally violent and unjust. And the remedy is found when we turn our gaze back to Christ, who is both the Lord of life and the Prince of Peace. So, here's the problem. Social justice can be two things. It could be A, church teaching, or B, it could be a politically charged buzzword. And the two things, this is where the confusion comes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're blended just enough to cause considerable confusion. At times it's calculated confusion by the left. And we'll go back and forth, Terry, on a few examples of social
Good
justice
examples.
Terms
yeah.
and how they're misused. Here's one.
Good.
Okay? Human rights and human dignity belong, here's what we as Catholics teach, belong to each and every person by virtue of his being created in the image and likeness of God. And that's based upon natural law. However, some political and religious liberals, they now assert that human rights and human dignity are determined by the state or the will of the people. So there's an example of a church word that is also used by liberal politicians, the same word, two different meanings, Terry.
Yeah, and here's a good example. St. John Paul II said it, I remember, at the baseball stadium in 1979 about freedom. It's to do the right thing. Here it comes. Freedom reaches its perfection in seeking what is true and good, which ultimately leads one to God. But now some define freedom as, and this is what Bishop Sheen said in his Life Was Worth Living.
These are the political and religious liberals.
Exactly. They describe freedom as a license to do whatever one feels like doing, as long as it isn't illegal. I've heard that. Without regard to truth, goodness or good. Secular humanism answers that way, Jess.
Here's another term, Terry, that we're fighting over.
Oh, yeah.
Truth. The church and the political and religious left.
Oh, yeah.
The word is truth.
Oh, big time.
Truth involves correspondence to objective reality.
Yep.
However, some political and religious liberals now claim that truth is merely a relative term that can vary from person to person. And in the process, they deny objective truth, particularly when it comes to morality. There you go. One word that two different camps pour two different meanings upon this word, Terry.
And Pope Benedict wrote so much on that years ago about moral relativism. And Jesse, you've done so much on that topic also. So what is, you know, it's the truth that sets us free. But you see, a lot of people say, I have my truth. Jesse, did I tell you that I'm 9 feet tall? Yeah, because that's my truth. Does that make it true? No, I'm 5'4", dude. That's the reality. That's the truth of it. So you see, but see what truth is doing in our culture? We make up our own truth. Another good example, common good. Now that refers to the good of the entire community as the proper object of a just law, which nonetheless presupposes respect for the individual person. Where did I get that from? The Catechism. It's paragraph 1907. Now, some secular humanists now equate the promotion of the common good to the redistribution of wealth, entitlement programs, and an exaggerated deference to the federal government. You know what that means, Jess? We give everything for free. And you see, what that does on the human level, even not on the supernatural, it makes people lazy. I'll just be honest with you. If you didn't earn, I'll be honest with the people who are getting an education for free. I don't agree with that, Jesse. If they don't have any money of their hard work into it, they won't appreciate it. That's just on the natural level. Supernatural level, we have something that we're going to be getting to, what we call subsidiarity. But my point to you, Jesse, is common good, yeah, it refers to the entire community, but they've abused that.
That's right. Common good is whatever the federal government decides is a common good when the party of death is in power. Another term that we fight over is the word culture of life.
Oh, yeah.
That comes from St. John Paul II's 1995 encyclical, The Gospel of Life. Now, that encyclical provides a coherent presentation of the range of life issues. The document hones in on abortion and euthanasia as the key issues of our time. But some political and religious liberals use culture of life to give credence to their position, even as they persist in their permissive position on abortion and other non-negotiable life issues. So for them, Terry, the political and religious liberals, this word culture of life, it doesn't have any meaning, Terry.
No.
They've ripped off any meaning that it really has as given to us by St. John Paul II. In other words, culture of life means anything in particular to these political and religious liberals, not what John Paul II wrote about in the Gospel of Life.
And Jesse, this is why being precise about what we teach in the Catholic Church is so important. And this is why ambiguity is terrible. It's actually weaponized. And I've seen ambiguity in the church, these latest documents from the Amazon. It's full of ambiguity. I would like to see black and white Catholicism where if you look at a lot of the old documents, Jesse, from 60, 80 years ago, they're very clear. Casti Canubi on marriage. There's no ambiguity. And so I just want to mention that this is important. And here's the next topic he's got. Development involves access to basic necessities of life, especially for the poor. But some use the development, consciously or otherwise, because I don't know, can't get in their mind, as a code for exporting or even exposing, when necessary, American secular values, most notably an anti-natural agenda. Boy, does that say a mouthful there, Jess?
Antinatal, anti-baby agenda, basically.
Yeah, baby against, yeah, yeah, unborn.
That's just, yeah. In other words, Terry, on the word development, the political and the religious left, here's what they've done. They've engaged in verbal engineering to accomplish what? Social engineering.
That's how it works.
They've ripped off these beautiful Catholic words, and they've poured a new meaning into them. This is classic deception. This is one of Satan's chief strategies. And we'll continue. What does a compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church say about, for example, human rights?
Oh, it's important.
St. John Paul II has drawn up a list of human rights in the encyclical Centesimus Annus, The Right to Life. He says the right to life is an integral part of which is the right of the child to develop in the mother's womb from the moment of conception, the right to live in a united family and in a moral environment conducive to the growth of the child's personality. The first right presented in this list is the right to life from conception to its natural end, which is the condition for the exercise of all other rights, and in particular implies the illicitness of every form of procured abortion and of euthanasia. Guess what, Terry? This teaching is violated by the Democrat Party completely.
Well, that's very clear, Jesse. Now, this next one, Janet Smith, who was on our show Friday, and she'll be on the next 2 weeks on Friday. She's a great moral theologian. We talked about contraception and saying that when we had contraception approved, everything else went out the window. Homosexual marriage, it all comes back to if sex is for unity.
Recreation,
then you can do anything you want.
There you go.
So here's what it says here. Contraception, also to be rejected, is recourse to the contraceptive methods in their different forms. This rejection is based on a correct and integral understanding of the person and human sexuality and represents a moral call to defend true development of peoples. All programs of economic assistance aimed at financing campaigns of sterilization, contraception, as well as the subordination of economic assistance to such campaigns are being morally condemned. Jesse, I love this language because this has been going on for decades and people think, oh, well, the government should do this. You know, we've got presidents in the past who said that we need fewer people on the planet. There's people right now, Jesse, who I've read their document. They want like at least a billion or two people less on the earth right now.
Yeah, the billionaires club, yeah. That doesn't include Donald Trump. You got Bill Gates.
George Soros.
You got Bloomberg. You got Oprah Winfrey. Rockefeller, you got the guy that owns the Walmart people. It's these billionaires. They gather every year in New York to have a meeting, and they're trying to reduce planet Earth by a billion people.
Yep.
There's 7.5 billion people. Their goal is through abortion and contraception, reduce the planet by a billion people.
No, that's
and they're using all they're using their money. Bloomberg's part of it. And by the way, Terry, this whole teaching here that you just mentioned.
Yeah, contraception.
Unfortunately, there's some offices within the USCCB.
Yep.
And you could go to Lepanto Institute because Michael Hitchborn writes about this every day.
Yep.
He will show you what offices of the USCCB, how they use their money, and he will show you which offices in a lot of their campaigns that they have actually give money to third world countries for contraception.
Yeah.
He's got all the data there in his website, LepantoInstitute.org.
Yep, and we're here to keep him accountable to what Jesus Christ taught for 2,000 years. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We'll finish the last segment with the last comments on what social teachings are. We'll be back with much more.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love." According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God, and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
My mom's gonna have a baby?
She is?
Will it be a boy?
Or will it be a girl?
We don't know yet, but we heard the heartbeat and my dad said this is gonna be someone very special.
You mean like being a president?
Or maybe a doctor?
Well, probably maybe like a singer or dancer, I think.
Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. We know that every baby is a miracle and has the potential to do great things. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
So why do Catholic dissenters make social justice their highest goal?
Here it comes.
Taylor Marshall said that a man's one told him about his brother who'd become a Catholic priest. And this brother, before he was ordained, admitted that he had stopped believing in the doctrines of the Apostles' Creed.
Don't get ordained.
And that he no longer believed the Catholic faith, that it was just a collection of myths.
Ugh.
Nevertheless, the brother went along and was ordained a Catholic priest. Why? He said that being a Catholic priest would enable him to have a better platform for social justice.
He was right.
Than if he had simply remained a normal member of the local community.
That's right.
You see, he no longer believed the Catholic faith. Instead, he resorted to social justice as the final good for mankind. And of the Catholic priests, religious, and laymen that I've met, those that have dissented from the revealed doctrines of Christ and the apostles given to the church have also spoken as if social justice or social work is the highest good of the Christian and should be the highest goal of the Catholic Church. Liberal modernist Catholic clergy and laity, They might have denied transubstantiation. They might deny the existence of hell, the conditions for mortal sin. They might deny salvation through Christ alone. But they're always convinced about the church's vocation to social justice. In fact, if you listen carefully to liberal modernist clergy and laity, they subscribe to a kind of religious communism, what is known as liberation theology. Why? Why is this? Well, St. Thomas provides us the answer. He says that spiritual goods can be shared equally by all because God is all in all. The beatific vision is not reduced by another person sharing in it. Likewise, sanctifying grace is not reduced when another sinner receives sanctifying grace. Rather, the grace is magnified as it is shared. This is a fundamental principle of Catholic theology. However, material goods don't work like this. The more people, for example, share a pizza, entails that each person gets less pizza. And the same goes for property, water, money, coal, or any other natural resource. God is infinite, so grace is infinite, but matter is finite, so the things of the world are finite as well. Those that deny our supernatural end and good, which is the beatific vision, face-to-face fellowship with God, must then take the supernatural principle, the beatific vision of God, which is not divisible, and they apply it to earthly goods. They supernaturalize material goods as man's final end. And yes, we should provide social justice and endure hardships for the well-being of others, just like today's gospel today. And the wealth should be spread to others. However, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Seek ye first, therefore, the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these, notice, material things shall be added unto you." In other words, we must never forget that the salvation of souls through proper preaching, spiritual direction, and sanctification is a higher priority than social justice. And that being said, social justice is the will of God, but it's not an end in itself. It is the means to deliver our souls and the souls of others into the sanctifying grace of God, and finally, into the beatific vision of God. because God loves justice. And yes, the Bible says that God hears the poor, the widow, and the orphan. So as Catholics, we should have a love for the poor and for poverty itself, since this was the state of Christ, his mother, and Saint Joseph, and his holy apostles. Social justice is an integral part or element of Christian identity and Christian orthodoxy. The point that I'm making, though, it just isn't the highest good. The highest good is personal holiness. Terry?
Jesse, I'll put some meat on it with a story. You nailed it. This article by the doctor is fantastic. But let me give you an example how this works. We as lay people, we pray for our priests. We pray for our bishops. I was at a situation where the bishop was giving a talk to young people back in the 1980s. And I actually recorded his talk because he said, Humanae Vitae is going to be done by, that we can have contraception by the year 2000. This was 1986. And he said a bunch of other things about marriage and about the real presence. It was very bad. It was all theologically way off. So I transcribed the cassette tape, sent it to a friend of mine who sent it to Cardinal Ratzinger in Rome. And then that bishop called me saying, Terry, you got me in trouble. That wasn't what I really wanted to say, and I apologize for you not understanding what I was saying. I said, no, Bishop, what you said is it's clear. You need to embrace the Catholic Church teachings. You're becoming secular. Here's my point. I pray for him, and you know, that bishop ended up dying of AIDS. You see, there's an example of what Jesse just said about liberals. He was a liberal bishop. He didn't believe in what the Catholic Church teaches. Even if he did, he didn't live it out. So we as lay people, right now, the crisis in the church is a crisis of holiness. So when our priests or bishops are teaching things that are way off the Catholic Church teachings, I even just had to advise a guy last month where the priest did something terrible in the confessional, immoral. I said, go to the bishop, report him, because these guys need to be accountable. And so we can pray, but let's take action. Write your letters, do what you can, because there are tons of people that are priests right now who don't believe, Jesse. I'm sorry to say that. I've experienced that in my life. And what happens is when they don't believe in the true teachings of the Catholic Church, then they become liberals. Have you noticed that? I have. And so here's my point.
A lot of them spoke at the RE conference.
Of course.
This just passed.
Yes. But here's my point. We have to do something. Well, we can pray. But also, Jess, we have to write letters. In that case, it was the Los Angeles Diocese. I wrote to the Archbishop. I got his attention because I had it recorded. It was all documented. So I just want to encourage our people, don't take things sitting down. Yes, make prayers. Say prayers of reparation for sacrileges. But also, make their life a little tougher because you're actually helping them to come to salvation because you're saying, repent, Father, and turn away from that and believe in the gospel by your charity and by the way you live. So this is a time right now for prayer and action.
Terry, many people, again, in the camp, like you and I and many of the people that that we network with,
sure,
that are dedicated to Catholic orthodoxy.
Absolutely.
We realize that calls us to a life of penance.
Yep.
That calls us to an acquisition of grace through the sacraments. And that means also that we're called to serve the poor. We're called to proclaim justice.
Right.
And we believe in all that. In fact, many of the church's greatest saints and even doctors were well known for their love of the poor and their willingness to alleviate the sufferings of their neighbors.
Yep.
Some saints even became enslaved on behalf of others.
That's right.
And yet these same men and women were pillars of orthodoxy, lovers of the sacraments, faithful to the church,
yep,
lovers of God, and very advanced in the mystical life.
Yep.
To replace the superior ideal, which he has abandoned, man may, for example, place his religion in science or in the cult of social justice or in some human ideal. And when he does this, he turns away from the supreme reality, which is God. And there arises a vast number of problems that will be solved only if he returns to the fundamental problem of the intimate relations of the soul with God. Now, social justice is good. Holiness, personal holiness, is better. So if your Catholicism stops at social justice, but it doesn't lead you to personal holiness, then I'm going to quote Scott Hahn, the good can become the enemy of the best. In other words, the good, social justice, if you just stay stuck on social justice, but it doesn't move you to personal holiness and orthodoxy, then your brand of social justice can become the enemy of the best, which is personal holiness and sanctifying grace. So if your brand of social justice causes you to dissent from Catholic moral teaching, well, guess what? Heresy blocks holiness.
Amen, Jesse.
One of the things that exorcists will tell you, the hardest cases to drive out a demon are people that are spiritually afflicted that embrace heresy. A person being treated by an exorcist, if they start saying stuff like during the session, I don't believe in confession. I don't believe in confessing my sins to a priest. Mary had other children. Exorcists will tell you that if a person holds on to heresy, the demon will not leave. So I'm going to say the same thing to just Catholic liberals.
Yeah.
If you hold on to holiness, that's a block to your... If you hold on to heresy, that blocks your personal holiness. Terry?
Well said, Jesse. All Christ asks of us is that we go back to basic training and prepare ourselves for the battles which only the Catholic Church has the spiritual resources to fight. Right. From that reading today of the Gospel, remember that our general is coming soon and we want to be ready. Our Lord said, fear is useless. What is needed is trust. Let not your hearts be troubled. What matters is that we run the race to the finish line, fight the good fight, and let's face it, many saints will be forged in the crucible of fire in the coming years. Make sure you're among them. Don't go with
right.
the flow. Don't go with the flow. For as the great Archbishop Sheen reminds us, dead bodies float downstream. More than ever, Jess, we shall have to be strong in our faith, because in the end, we have the certainty that truth triumphs over lies, lies, light over darkness, and good over evil. So folks, stand firm, Catholics, and rush into the battle lines with Jesus in your heart, a rosary in one hand, and a Bible in the other, because no matter what happens, no matter how this battle turns out, we know we win. No matter what political party's in power at any given point, in the end, those who remain faithful to Jesus Christ win. Jess, I love reading that, and I've read that for years, and it always inspires me to know that we need to stand up and be soldiers for Christ.
Right. Amen. By the way, those words are on the last chapter of my book, Knocked Off the Donkey.
Where do you think I got it from, brother?
Yeah. Terry, there's a few other words where, again, the Catholic, the left and the liberal left, they poured a new meaning.
Yeah.
When we talk about abortion and direct sterilization, the Catholic left, I mean, for them, they just reject the church's teachings on abortion and direct sterilization.
Right.
Same-sex marriage. That's another area where the political and religious left reject the church's teachings on this topic. And the fact is, Terry, you said it before, social justice begins in the womb.
Amen.
Another area where we differ with the religious and political left is on the term subsidiarity and big government.
Oh, big time.
That's another area where we're speaking past each other. We're not speaking the same language.
Well said. I want to let everybody know I'm going to be at some parishes this week and this month. I'll be in Bellflower for talks on evangelization and the angels at 7 p.m. in Bellflower at St. Dominic's. And I'll be back again with them the following Thursday. Also, I'm going to be at a men's conference April 4th, at St. Rose of Lima and Pastor Robles. Lots of other things I'm doing, but hey, Jesse, more importantly, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sins. Pick up your 5 stones. Pray the rosary every day. Go to Mass as often as possible. Read your Bible every day. Fridays, penance and fasting. Monthly confession. Get to the box, Terry.
Well said. I want to thank all of you who are supporting us at Virgin Most Powerful. We're full sheen ahead here, and we want to thank you. If you'd like to become a monthly donor, go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You get lots of material that help you be a high information Catholic. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.